You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
We all love our animal friends, how much they give us so much that unconditional love and how easy it is to take care of them. But sometimes we miss the early warning signs that they are sick, and sometimes they even are tragically ill with major diseases. Joining me today is celebrity veterinarian Dr. Alfred Plechner, who has spent almost 50 years, I should say, researching disease in animals, and he is here to share imperative information about how you can detect if your pet is sick and possibly help prevent future debilitating diseases. Welcome, Dr. Plechner. Now let's start with my favorite topic, allergies. How can we tell that our pets have allergies?
Allergies can, occur in different forms in different impact areas. And I think the main thing to do is if you view your animal, you check your animal face, ears, eyes, skin, if there's any rashes, if there are any outbreakings, anything like this, if there's excess itching and scratching, this is often the sign of an allergy. Now, interesting thing with food, Suzanne, what happens is, and you see this all the time, you'll see a dog that has a food sensitivity that one licks its feet, chews on its paws, shakes its ears, has thickened ears, red inflamed ears, and often the skin of the abdomen will be pink. And The reason it shows up here, many years ago when I was up at UC Davis, I did a research project on animals and found that mast cells, as you know, that contain histamine, when they degranulate, they cause inflammation. Guess what? They're concentrated in the feet, the face, ears, and the skin of the tummy. And so this is where the lesions will show up. Again,
I remember.
Remember?
Yes. Yes, I remember, Al. Remember when my dog Lola, of course, you've been my veterinarian for a long time now. When Lola had a vaccine, and it was actually the rabies vaccine, she ended up having a full-blown, just like what you said, she wouldn't stop itching. Her whole face got really red, and her belly got really red, and it was swollen. And my goodness, I was like, wow, what a huge, and it was a fast reaction.
Oh, yeah. And, fortunately, as you know, I'm not in favor of a whole bunch of vaccines, and I'm also not in favor of giving a full vaccine to a 200-pound dog and the same amount to a 5- or 10-pound dog. And thankfully, we cut the amount down with her. Otherwise, the reaction could have been more severe. Now, you can get a skin reaction, which is kind of secondary, or you can get a primary first-line reaction, which is vomiting and diarrhea. So it can basically hit both of those areas. And so, when you're looking at your animals, you can look at the eyes, you can tell if they're not feeling well. You can hear excess burbly sounds in their tummy. A lot of times they'll have gas. A lot of times they'll look bloated. They just don't feel well. They don't want to eat. And one of the indications, too, that there's a problem with the food in believing our animals and knowing they've got a sixth sense and they know a lot more sometimes than we think they do or we think we know, they'll go up to a food that doesn't agree with them, and they're hungry, and they'll eat a little bit of it, then they'll back away. And they'll come back, and they eat a little bit more, and then they'll back away. And many times when you change the food to something that's maybe more simple with limited ingredients in them, and all of a sudden they woof it down, you know it's agreeing with them. But this is something for people to think about, too. If the pet isn't crazy about that food, maybe you ought to think about the food. And also look to see, does your dog have, or cat, gas, or does it vomit often? Does it vomit its food? Is it itching its ears, licking its feet? Because you see these chronic things that the effects are being treated, the cause is not. And once you change the foods, all of a sudden you've gone to the cause of the allergy, and that's the end of it. Our profession believes anything that occurs literally over the back, rear end, is a flea allergy dermatitis, even though often there are no fleas there. And something I found that was really, really interesting with an allergy like that, particularly if a dog or cat is attractive to fleas, over the years I've found if they're in a nutritional imbalance or they have elevated estrogen, adrenal estrogen, total estrogen, the fleas are attractive to them. And I bumped into a neat paper about 3 months ago, which was really interesting. It talked about rabbit fleas, and it talked about rabbits when they go into heat and they have their high estrogen production from their ovaries, guess what? These fleas congregate on the rabbit and procreate. They increase their population. So there's a reason why this happens. So if you have one dog at home, one cat at home, and you've got three, four others, and one is inundated with fleas, it's got to tell you that there's probably a hormone-antibody imbalance that can be corrected.
Wow, that's very interesting, because I know in adults in my practice, I find that when women are higher in estrogen, if they're taking birth control pills, mm-hmm. and during those times right before a period when the cycle is really high in those estrogen and hormones, they are their weakest. That's when they can get flu symptoms, they feel tired all the time, they have too much candida overgrowth. I mean, it's exactly the same for animals. That's phenomenal.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, with things like idiopathic epilepsy. That comes from elevated estrogen, and it causes inflammation of all the, as you know, the endothelial cells that line the arteries in the body, particularly the cerebral arteries. And many times with women that are estrogen dominant because of the adrenal estrogen, when they have their period and the ovarian estrogen kicks in, guess what? They have migraines and sometimes epileptic seizures.
Yes.
And that's in the literature, but nobody really looks at it, you know?
Right. That's the amazing connection. That animals, you know, our little pets have very, very similar cycles. We are so much closer to them than we think. You know, there is actually a condition that's named after your name. The Plechner syndrome is called ACEIS. And can you just give a little brief description of what that is?
Yeah, that's I had named that the atypical cortisol estrogen imbalance syndrome, and the public has called it, you know, my Plechner syndrome. I didn't name it, trust me, after myself. What it is what isn't realized is that we're seeing cortisol imbalances like you can't believe. The fact that the cortisol is there, unless you compare to what it's doing in the body, you don't know if it's active or not. And so what the syndrome measures is the cortisol. It measures total estrogen, which is ovarian, or in the animals, usually there are no ovaries there anyway. And it measures then the thyroid, because if the estrogen's high, it's going to bind the receptor sites for the thyroid. And it also, what it does is it compares it to the immune system, your B cell production of antibodies, IgA, IgM, and IgG. What's not recognized in my field is that your hormones regulate your immune system. And the neat part about doing this syndrome with the four hormones and the three immune cells is that you can fund enough hormone in each patient individually to regulate their immune system so they're normal. And once their B cell is normal in its production, the T cell usually follows. And when that happens, then the candida goes away. I've done this with AIDS patients. That's why it goes from HIV into AIDS. It's a high estrogen that deregulates the T cell. So your T lymphocyte is not protecting them against viruses. I mean, it's all there. It really is. It's exciting. And all they have to do is do a test, but they seem to balk at just adding cortisol, total estrogen, T3, T4, and your three immunoglobulins. Why not add it?
Can you tell me that lab that's in Texas that you use? You said that it was the only lab available to do this. What's the lab called?
It's called National Veterinary Diagnostic Services, NVDS. And it can be
really,
you know, hit the, yeah, and he does a good, he's actually done, Susanna, it's funny, he's been involved with 29,000 of these tests.
Wow, and so he definitely has
an A&E
a lot
laboratory.
Of information.
Well, Antech has bought out this A&E Laboratories, and they had done 43,000 of my tests. And Miles Laboratory before that, which is human, so I've been involved with pretty close to 90 to 100,000 of these blood tests.
Right. You're definitely the expert in the endocrine issues of animals like that. And I know that one of my pets in the past, little Elvis, had that too. Well, goodness, thanks so much for all of this enlightening information. You know, everyone, to learn more about how to keep your pets healthy, go to drplechner.com. Drplechner.com. There's a world of information all about the estrogens, the phytoestrogens, how to take better care of your animals. And until then, this is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD.